Well, this morning we're starting a brand new sermon series entitled Muzzling Monsters. And the monsters we're referring to are those things that we are afraid of and that we fear. And so this morning I'm reading from the book of Psalms. I'm reading Psalm 56, verses 1 through 11. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long, foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me, O Most High. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long, they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps. As they hope to have my life, so repay them for their crime. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. I love that phrase, tossings, you know, like tossing to and fro in bed. I'm sure some of us have done that at night. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. One woman wrote to a magazine to say that every year it seemed that her family would get on the highway and get a few miles out of the city when her mom would wail, "Oh my goodness, I think I left the iron on." Almost every year they would turn around and they would go back. And as far as she could recall, not once was the iron ever plugged in. It seems her mom was dominated by fear that all their earthly possessions would disappear in a fire caused by her forgetfulness. That was the family ritual, she said, until she was about 14. On that occasion, they headed out of Chicago for Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And sure enough, her mom gasped, "I just know I left the iron on." She says this time her father didn't say a word. He just pulled over onto the shoulder of the road, got out, opened the trunk, and handed his wife the iron. That's a smart idea. In today's world, we struggle with fear. And there is so much we can be afraid of. Terrorism, global warming, economic insecurity, identity theft, mass shootings, conflict with Iran and North Korea. We also worry about our children, our families, our health, and maybe even our jobs. My stress, of course, comes from ministry. Imagine that. On Monday, I always wonder, what am I going to say by Sunday? Is God going to give me any sort of direction? Because if I don't create something worth hearing on Sunday the next week, nobody might show up. I stress about the budgeting process that has to be done in the next 6 weeks. I stress about the lay leadership nominating process that has to be completed in the next 2 months. I stress about the repairs that we're still completing due to a lightning strike 3 weeks ago. Also, there's training for new staff members that we have hired in the past 3 months. So there is pressure in my life. There is stress. There is anxiety. And sometimes this stress just drives you crazy. Now, before you all get too nervous or stress about me, please know it's okay. I'm just highlighting the fact that all of us have stress. Sometimes that stress can even come through our dreams. Just before a youth service project, my wife Beth had a dream that one of the church vehicles drove off the road. By the way, she told me after the 8 o'clock service, yeah, I was in that vehicle as it went off the road and off the cliff as we were navigating the curves in Yosemite National Park. Some of the youth people are going, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Yeah, that's what my wife was worrying about. So when we were on the youth service project, do you know how nervous she was when we were driving through Yosemite? Yeah, she was a little nervous. By the way, Beth, your vehicle stayed on the road. Good thing. How many of you struggle with worry and fear and anxiety? Raise your hand if you do. Look around you. That's almost everybody. Our worry, our fear can take a toll on our health. We can literally worry ourselves to death. During his 1933 inaugural address, President Franklin Roosevelt sought to calm a very troubled America that was in the grasp of a depression. And he said, "There is nothing to fear but fear itself." There's a story of two little boys whose mother asked them to chase a chicken snake out of the hen house. They looked everywhere for that snake, but they couldn't find it. The more they looked, the more afraid they got, until finally they did find it. And when it happened, they fell all over themselves running out of the chicken house. "Don't you know that a chicken snake won't hurt you?" their mother asked. "Yes," one of the little boys answered, "but there are some things that scare you so bad you'll hurt yourself." It's true. Our worry and fear comes from part of our brain. We have a fight or flight mechanism in our brain that helps us survive. It's a subconscious reaction. Our brain has the ability to sense danger before we're even aware of it. When it is triggered, a series of chemicals are released in our body. Our pupils dilate, our heart rate increases. We breathe faster. Our blood pressure rises. Blood is shut off to certain parts of our body, and it is directed to other parts of our body. Blood goes to our muscles so that we might fight or flee. These reactions are designed to keep us alive and protect us in the face of danger. But you can have a problem with that system in the brain. It can go off when you don't need it. Maybe you've suffered a panic attack. You might be overwhelmed by anxiety. Some people can have a generalized personal anxiety disorder. The amygdala in our brain sends signals. I mean, you can't see anything that would trigger a fight or flight response, but suddenly your heart is racing. You have a feeling of a sense of dread, And you may even feel like you're having a heart attack. You go to the ER and they say, you're fine. Your heart's fine. But your brain tells you to be fearful, even though there's nothing to fear. Someone once said, fear can stand for false events appearing real. False events appearing real. By the way, I have fears that some things will happen, like we'll have typos in the bulletin. If you look at the front bulletin, there's a typo this morning. It says, fear events appearing real. When it really should say, false events appearing real. Yeah, there's a lot of things to stress about in this world, aren't there? Well, we have to discern between things that we really should be afraid of and things we shouldn't be afraid of. Many times we fear things that we shouldn't. Anyone remember John Madden? Here's a picture of him. He's on the right side. Madden was a big, tough former football player in the NFL, a former Super Bowl winning head coach with the Oakland Raiders, and a former color commentator for NFL telecasts, which means he had to travel all over the country to do his job. Did you know that John Madden is deathly afraid of flying? Some of you may remember that he had a specially outfitted personal bus to carry him coast to coast for his football telecasts. So somebody once asked him, why are you afraid to fly? Madden confided, well, it was something that happened a long, long time ago in an airport. Airports used to have machines where you could buy flight insurance before you boarded your aircraft. Madden says that once he was standing in line at the insurance policy machine and he noticed there were three pilots ahead of him buying insurance. Yeah. That made him deathly afraid to fly and buy his own bus. I wonder if there are any fears you face. There are over 400 verses in the Bible that address fear, which tells us that fear has been a problem for a long time. But one constant message of the scriptures is, do not be afraid. For example, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. But we have a tendency to fear. As some unknown poet said, he worried about the weather. He worried about his health. He worried about his business. He worried about his wealth. She worried about the children. She worried about her clothes. She worried about the neighbors. She worried about her woes. They worried about their taxes. They worried about their pets. They worried about their future. They worried about their debts. They worried, still they worried. They worried, but alas, they worried about a lot of things that did not come to pass. That's what we do. Somebody on the way out after the 8 o'clock service said, yeah, we worry about 95% of the, 95% of the stuff we worry about never comes to pass. Can you imagine a life with less worries and fear? I mean, that would be a great improvement. It would be worth working towards. Well, we can lessen our fears by developing our faith. It is faith that pushes fear away. So anything that helps our faith grow gives us hope and less fear. So think about what things could build your faith. King Saul was insecure when he compared himself to David. He'd heard what people said. He'd heard how they'd say, King Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands, which implied that David was a superior leader. This trips Saul's insecurities. So Saul decides he's going to kill David. When David hears about Saul's threat, he flees from Jerusalem. He hides down in some caves near the Dead Sea. David is very afraid. To deal with that, he writes poetry. He writes prayers to God. He puts them to music. He sings them. By the way, that's where Psalm 56 comes from. Let me read a couple of verses again. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? When you're afraid, why not pray scripture? I know sometimes people will say, I'm not good at prayer. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. Well, you know, one place to start is just pray scripture. Why not just pray that psalm? We're going to put it back on the screen, and I'm going to invite you to say it with me as a prayer. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? When you do that, you find peace in those words. We can also find peace when we sing spiritual music. It worked for David. It can work for us. When my aunt was dying, she refused hospice care. As a result, she went through a great deal of pain and suffering. She also hadn't adequately prepared herself spiritually for her death. And so she was very fearful. My mother told me that the only thing that seemed to bring my aunt any comfort was when my mom sang Amazing Grace. So my mom sang it over and over and over and over. It was only then that my aunt could relax. Singing and praying can help calm our fears and our anxieties. If you hear news that you have cancer, if a child dies, remember that God is at your side and won't let you go. Have you ever been afraid to drive over one of those high bridges? If so, you're not alone. Some are fearful to drive even over the freeway interchange bridges that are in Phoenix. You know how I know this? Somebody in the congregation told me they drive around those interchanges. Some people will drive hours out of their way to avoid large bridges over rivers or bodies of water. Others try to cross, but they have a panic attack in the middle of the bridge. They can't go on. They block traffic. Because of this, operators of some of the longest and highest bridges in the United States offer a driving service. That's another fear. The pastor can't say the right words in the sermon. Here's a picture of one of those bridges. On request, someone will get behind the wheel and drive you and your car over the terrifying expanse. Michigan's Timid Motorist Program, I love the name, Michigan's Timid Motorist Program assists drivers over the Mackinac Bridge. This is that bridge, which is 5 miles long and rises 200 feet above the water. It's great that fearful people can get some help to get them through scary situations. By the way, if you want to see some funny videos, go to YouTube and type in something like that, people afraid to drive on bridges. Because you can see the person with a vest, you know, the official guy who's part of the driver's program, and then you can watch the passenger freak out as they go over the bridge. It is our faith that allows God to navigate us through a difficult world, through those scary moments. It is God's presence that can reassure us and keep things in perspective. So don't succumb to false events appearing real. Face your fears. Grow your faith. Starve your fears. By reading and praying scripture, by singing and listening to spiritual music, and trusting that God is holding you close. And then you might find peace. Amen.